From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, this is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Well, it is almost time for Oscar nomination. So who's going to be front and center? And we also have a great documentary for you. Also, there's a new high-profile series that was ripped right from Idaho's headlines. That's right. So here to help us figure out what to watch is our very own resident movie critic and, of course, Morning Edition host, George Prentice. Hi, George.
Hi, Gemma. I mean, there's so much to see and catch up on.
I know, and I'm so excited because with all of this snow, George, I feel like all I've been doing is watching TV.
Good excuse.
Because I can't do anything else. All right, let's start with the Oscars because we have the Golden Globes already. We've had the Critics' Choice Awards, but we're still waiting for the Oscar nominations.
Which are Tuesday. They're coming out Tuesday. Okay. Yeah, January 23rd. And I think that's where award season moves into top gear.
Who's going to be in the running for all of this stuff?
Well, quite frankly, it's going to be a lot of the films that you and I have talked about for the last few months. Mm-hmm. But I think it is catch-up time. I know that there are a lot of people I talk to, and they're just trying to catch up now on some of the films. Maybe some are still in theaters. Maybe some are online. So I thought I would share with you kind of a guide of where you can turn to see what will likely be the Oscar nominees. Killers of the Flower Moon, we've been talking about that for a while. That has now gone to a streaming platform. If you subscribe to Apple Plus, or if you know someone who has Apple Plus, you can see Killers of the Flower Moon there. So that is now streamable, if you will, at home. Barbie is now on HBO or Max. So a lot of people may have seen that over, I think, the Christmas break. I think it hit HBO just before Christmas. So you know that I love the movie The Holdovers. And it turns out, by the way, that a lot of other people do too. And it's actually picking up quite a few awards. I don't know if you saw the other night, but Paul Giamatti won the Best Actor Award at the Golden Globes and at the Critics' Choice Awards. I'm thrilled. I'm pleased as punch that a lot of people are seeing this film. The Holdovers now is streaming on Peacock.
That's where we saw it.
Yep. So if you know someone who has Peacock, or if you are thinking about, you know, which one that you might want to try a quote unquote trial period, you may want to try Peacock, because not only is The Holdovers there right now, we have just gotten word that Oppenheimer is coming to Peacock in just a couple of months. So in mid-February, that's where you will be able to see Oppenheimer. And I think it's fair to say that Oppenheimer, Barbie, and Killers of the Flower Moon, and now, quite frankly, I think The Holdovers, too, are all going to be Best Picture nominees. So that's where some of those are. I would also like to point to a couple of films that are still playing in theaters. One that I think will be a bit of a dark horse in coming into the Oscars, but I do think there's going to be nominations. And then just another movie which I love, and that's The Boys in the Boat. I highly recommend that for those folks who may have read the bestseller or have heard about this wonderful story directed by George Clooney. The Boys in the Boat is still playing in theaters. No word yet on when that might be streaming. But American Fiction. I want to take a couple minutes, Gemma, to talk about American Fiction, because I think this is the one that kind of slipped in. So I'll tell you a quick story. When I was in Toronto, the day I was coming back, I had a flight scheduled to come back to Boise. And by then I had seen, I don't know, more than a couple dozen films. So my bag was packed. But I didn't have a flight till the afternoon. I thought, well, maybe I'll just squeeze one more film in. And that film was American Fiction. And wow, it is a jaw dropper. So have you heard about American Fiction, Gemma?
No, I haven't at all.
It's so good. So Jeffrey Wright is the star of this. And I think he is destined now to be, to get a Best Actor nomination. So, American Fiction, I think, might well be the most provocative film of the season. It is based on a novel called Erasure, which I thought was unfilmable because it was, I just thought it was, this is too hot to touch. And if anything, it probably would be a drama. Well, American Fiction is not only a comedy, it is one of the funniest films that you will see in quite some time. So here's the story. Jeffrey Wright plays an author and college professor, Thelonious Ellison. But I think it's fair to say that he is quote-unquote old school, and he has impatience with his students and their cultural sensitivities. And then his publishers say, you know what, your books just aren't black enough. And he's like, hold it. I'm an author.
I've heard about this.
And I'm an author. I'm black. And they say, right, yeah, but you're just not black enough. So he decides to go back to his hometown of Boston and a literary festival where a first-time author played by Issa Rae does a reading of a book. And the title of her book is Wheeze Lives in Da Ghetto. And it's just filled with just jargon and a lot of profanity, et cetera. And the audience, mostly white, I must add, is just over the moon over this. It's like, oh, this is so black. And here's Thelonious Monk just thinking, what the heck is going on? So one night, in spite, he concocts a novel under a pseudonym. And he throws in every black cliche he can imagine. And his agent submits it to a publisher who immediately says, wow, this is great. We can't wait to publish this. And then they get a movie deal. And they say, oh, my gosh, we can't wait. And it's like, you've got to be kidding me. So let's listen to just a little bit of American Fiction.
Any news?
Editors, they want a black book.
They have one. I'm black, and it's my book.
Look at what they expect us to write.
Would you read an excerpt?
Yo, Sharonda, where you be going in a hurry like that? If and you gots to know, I's going to the pharmacy.
If they want stereotypes, I'll give them one.
What is this?
Deadbeat dads, rappers, crack, and black, right?
Nobody's gonna publish this.
Just wanna rub their noses in it.
We love it.
What?
It is very,
black?
Yes, that's it. I'm happy you said it and not me.
I wrote it as a joke.
People wanna love you, Monk. You should let them love all of you.
We sold the movie rights.
Yes!
We think it is going to be a bestseller.
I'm sure white people on the Hamptons will delight in it.
Yeah, we will.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah. So, I'm watching this film. It's like, I cannot believe that this is on film. And it's such a very particular and delicate sense of humor, but it is also politically incorrect. Well, audiences are really connecting to this. And I highly recommend American Fiction. It's playing at the Flicks in Boise. And Jeffrey Wright, who we have seen for so many years in supporting performances, so good. I think a lot of people may know his work from Westworld on television.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he was in Angels in America. I think he won the Emmy years ago. And this is the role of his life. And Sterling K. Brown is in this. Issa Rae.
I love him.
Leslie Uggams plays his mom. I highly recommend American Fiction. Put this one on your list. And don't be surprised on Tuesday if American Fiction picks up an Oscar nomination or two.
So, George, I love hearing about this because as you were talking about it, it clicked. And I was like, oh, wait, I saw a preview of this when I was at the movie theater. And I thought it looked hilarious, but then I was like, well, okay, is it one of those movies where they just show you all the funny parts?
No. Oh, it is so
funny.
This
is so great. Okay, this is so good to know.
Yeah.
This is great.
And it's a word-of-mouth movie. It's one of those movies that's like, you know, I don't know. I tried to write an essay about it. I did my best, but I mean, I'm an old white guy. So, you know, I'm just doing my best. All I know is I love this film. I want more people to see it and talk about it.
Well, and then getting back to the holdovers real quick before we move on.
Yeah.
We were going to go see that in the theater. And then I happened to turn Peacock on about a month ago.
Yeah.
And it was on. And my husband and I watched it. It is phenomenal. I think it is. I mean, my husband was like, he goes, this is one of the best movies I've seen in a really long time. Like, it's So good.
I'm so happy. I thought, well, you know, I've been talking about this since September, yeah. Right? But Paul Giamatti, I think it may be his best performance. And so then Divine Joy Randolph, mm-hmm. who plays mm-hmm. the cook at the school, as yeah. she won the Golden Globe for Best Supporting Actress. And I think she may be the odds-on favorite to take home an Oscar in the Best Supporting Actress role. So, folks, wow. if you haven't seen The Holdovers, it is wonderful. And, Gemma, I'm so, so glad you enjoyed it.
I really did. Okay, so documentaries. I yep. always love a good documentary. And there, you say there's one that we should see that's headed to public television.
Yeah, this is a stunner. It is a documentary I saw about a year ago called Racist Trees, and it is about to hit public television. This is one of those under the radar documentaries that I don't think many people have heard about or seen. So, Palm Springs. It takes place in Palm Springs. This is, by the way, entirely true. And I think it's fair to, Gemma, have you ever known anyone who lives in or around Palm Springs?
Actually, I do. And I kind of love Palm Springs. So, yeah, but I do. I have a high school friend that lives there full time. She's a teacher.
So Palm Springs, I think it's fair to say that the people there have a tendency to think of themselves as rather progressive. This is a slice of recent history that is rather stunning. So this is about an historically black neighborhood in Palm Springs and how they tried to create a nice neighborhood, et cetera. But mm-hmm. then the where they were building homes, people put in a wall of trees.
Wow.
And the trees formed a barrier, believed by some to segregate the community. And so a number of the black residents, they saw their home values go down. And then when this hit the press, Fox News went crazy saying that, oh, here comes liberals again saying the trees are racist. When in fact the people, you know, these black homeowners are saying, no, you know, this is so overt. This is so obvious. So let's listen to a clip of a wonderful documentary called Racist Trees.
Palm Springs is the one resort in America which has everything.
When most people think of Palm Springs, they're thinking of the restaurants and the hotels and the pool sides.
And I'm thinking, wow, this looks really nice to me. And then you pass this wall of trees, you're in an entirely different world.
As a kid growing up, they were just trees. But as we got older, we started to understand they were planted to hide this community because of the people who lived here.
At the time, African Americans were not allowed to live inside Palm Springs proper. A wealthy African American man bought this tract of land and developed it as a place for black families.
Just quickly, how many want them out? Raise your hand.
Bataroo.
Who wants them to stay for any reason? There's a reason that they're there.
The first article I published about the trees got a lot of reaction.
Liberals have run out of racist statues to take down.
What racist sentiments have they expressed to you?
It is their intent.
Now, hold on.
You can be a progressive town and still hold on to racist tradition.
They've been staring at a wall. What's the difference between that wall and the Berlin Wall?
They can prove that by one simple act, remove the trees.
The Palm Springs City Council voting tonight.
Okay, we have a motion to approve. Motion is on the floor.
Palm Springs offers accommodations to suit every purse and every personality.
So I'm not going to tell you how that turns out, but it is a jaw-dropper. It is called Racist Trees, and it airs this coming Monday night on Idaho Public Television at 10 p.m. I'm so happy that this is on their slate of programming. So folks, either set your recorder or just find this documentary called Racist Trees, again, on Idaho Public Television on Monday night.
You know, it's interesting, George, how much of history we, as I think white people sometimes don't know.
Right.
This being one of them. And I mean, my family, we spend a lot of time in Palm Springs. And you're right. They are in so many ways a highly progressive area.
Yeah.
But, you know, this brings up, I think, necessary history that we all should probably know about.
And where one person is thinking, well, what's the big deal? It's a bunch of trees. Well, it's a very big deal when you're on the other side of a wall of trees.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so this is on public television this weekend?
Monday night at 10 p.m. on Idaho Public Television.
Okay, so I need to know more about this next item. There's a new series coming out. You say very high profile. And they ripped it right from Idaho headlines. I mean, I have to tell you, George, there's a lot to pick from these days.
Yeah, and so it's a new season, I should say, of the anthology series Fargo. So as you may know, Fargo, which airs on FX and Hulu, so you can see previous seasons, then each season is self-contained. In other words, it's the beginning and the end of a story each year.
Oh, so you don't have to. Oh, that's right. I didn't know that about
totally Warner. Different. So this season, stars John Hamm and Juno Temple. You may know her from Ted Lasso. So John Hamm plays this character called Roy Tillman, and he is evil personified, and he is obsessed with his ex-wife. Dot, who is played by Juno Temple, and it turns out that the backstory is that she was a child when she was abducted and basically put into servitude, and this man has a history of doing this. He has also become the sheriff of his county, and he wields power with great ferocity. But clearly, Dot was an abused girl who was kidnapped, so we learn her backstory. But this character, Roy Tillman, I'm watching these episodes and I'm thinking, they're not going where I think they're going here, because it's like, gosh, this, the way he's acting and the way he paints himself as a victim. He has his quote unquote followers. He thinks that he's always under siege. And I'm thinking, is this going where I think it's going? And then last week in the most recent episode, and you can see this, he goes all Ammon Bundy. In a scene, so here's John Hamm as Roy Tillman in Fargo, where he goes on the internet, much like Ammon Bundy, and calls for his followers to pick up arms, come to his ranch, and face off against state and federal authorities. It was a jaw-dropper. Let's listen.
Mayday, mayday. This is a code 1000, officer down. All patriots respond. I have a military ambush inbound, and this is America's sheriff issuing a call to arms. They're coming for me the way they came for Ammon and Lavoie. And don't be fooled. After they murder me, they're coming for you next. So grab your beans and your bullets and bring your big f***ing hammer, because it's to the wall time. And rally right here on me. If you're close by, get here now. I'll keep them face forward while you box them in. We'll show these godless Huns how a patriot dies a-singin'. Hooah!
And then you're hearing the village people play while all of these trucks with all of the folks from his community with their guns start showing up at his ranch. It's... You don't know whether to laugh or cry or cringe. And by the way, John Hamm's performance is amazing. But for those of us here in Idaho, oh my gosh, they have actually fictionalized the Ammon Bundy story here. So you want to catch the most recent season of Fargo, which is streaming right now on Hulu, where this character, I thought, initially was kind of a veiled attempt. It's like, oh, it's a little bit like Ammon Bundy. And then he just goes all Ammon. And and you can imagine where this is heading into the final episode, which is coming up this week with the face-off, right? While we are in the midst of, you know, Ammon Bundy is out there somewhere on the lam, and authorities are trying to find him to bring him to justice, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay. All right. Before we wrap up, George, the Emmys wrapped up. Mm-hmm. So where can folks see some of those award winners?
You know, it's so interesting, Gemma. A lot of people either texted me or told me, hey, I watched the Emmys the other night, but I was kind of surprised. I'm not familiar with some of these shows that won. So I thought I would mention where you can find three of these. Now, one of them, Gemma, you and I have talked about it for a while, and that's Abbott Elementary. And you can see that either on ABC or Hulu. And just this week, Quinta Brunson, who created Abbott Elementary, won the Best Actress Emmy Award. So, folks, you got to catch up with Abbott Elementary. You can stream it on Hulu, and new episodes return on ABC, I think, in just a few weeks. You may have heard about this show called The Bear, which swept the Emmys. It won Best Comedy Series, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress. The Bear is a comedy. It's a dark comedy, but it's about a team of cooks working to reinvent their formerly grimy sandwich shop into a world-class dining destination. And if you have not caught up with The Bear, go find it. It is streaming on Hulu, and now the Emmys have caught up to The Bear, and it has won every top Emmy for comedy. And you may have heard about Beef, which won a number of Emmys this week. It won, let's see, Best Limited Series, Best Actress in the Limited Series, Best Actor. Beef is about two strangers who become embroiled in an escalating feud following a road rage incident. It's on Netflix. So Beef is on Netflix. The Bear and Abbott Elementary are on Hulu. If you want to catch up and see which shows are taking home all of the prizes lately, that's where you can find them.
Well, as always, George, so appreciate you coming on and giving me some new things to watch. So it's always a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Gemma.
We've been talking with our resident movie critic, George Prentice, as well as our Morning Edition host about what to watch this weekend. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This new year, LifeKit wants to help you succeed. Because everyone needs a little help being human.
It can seem so overwhelming. You're not alone.
Who can I commit to being?
If you want to do something, then just do it. Just take that first step.
Great advice every week. Listen to Life Kit from NPR.